1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'd start to read at verse number 50. It says here, "Now this I say," Paul, I believe, is writing here, "brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption." Now, it's a very simple truth from this verse that we will not go to heaven the way we are, human beings, flesh and blood, because we are going to have to be changed. We have sinful bodies. But then he says in verse 51, and I think this is a very dramatic statement, and it starts with a lovely word in the Bible which denotes to take special mention or special note of what has been said. You remember John the Baptist saw Jesus coming, and he could say, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." John 1, verse 29. It says here, "Behold, I show you a mystery." Now, quite often in the New Testament, we have this expression, mystery. When we think of the church in Ephesians 5, Paul talks about the mystery of the church. Something that wasn't revealed up to that time. Something that wasn't even thought of and, well, maybe referred to, but they didn't understand it in the Old Testament. A mystery. In 1 Timothy 3 and 16, Paul also says, "Great is the mystery of godliness, God manifest in the flesh." That's another mystery. There's the mystery of the gospel. In Romans 16, Paul talks about that. There's the mystery of the Gentiles being brought in. And Paul talks about that. And we could go to all those references and talk about that mystery, which is something which, it's not in a sense mysterious or that type of way, if you think of the word mystery. It's something that hasn't yet been revealed, but is now being revealed. And that's the importance of this verse. Paul's saying, "Behold, I show you a mystery," something which hasn't been revealed up to this particular point. And then he says, "We shall not all sleep." Now, of course, some have taken this word and brought out from it what they commonly call soul sleep, which isn't right at all, of course. We know that. It simply means we are not all going to die, you see. Now, I was speaking at a funeral Friday a week ago in Cairn Cemetery in Portadown, and it was a lady, and the coffin was put into the grave. You see? And I spoke on this passage, you see. The body going into the grave isn't the end. Some people think, and some people would even say that, you know, there's something final about that. But you see, as I was saying to those people, if the Lord was to come today, and he could, you see, as we stood there, that body would be resurrected. You see, that's the beauty of it about, you see. That body would be resurrected. And when Jesus comes, we're told in 1 Thessalonians 4, here's what he says. Verse 14, 1 Thessalonians 4, he says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again," and we do. And I think this chapter here, chapter 15, has the emphasis is on this resurrection of the Lord Jesus and what that brings to us, you see? I think that's the beauty of this chapter. "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again," and here's what Paul says, "even so, them also which," now notice it, "which sleep in Jesus," they've died. They're in the grave. You see, really, the body's in the grave. They sleep in Jesus, but really what he means here is not the grave. What he means, "them also which sleep in Jesus," those who have died and have gone to the glory, their souls are there. And here's what he says, "even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." And what happens is this: when Jesus comes down, the body will be resurrected, and soul and body will be reunited. You see? And off to the air to be with Christ. Changed as well. You see? He says, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Now, I just want to go to another little verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm not going to go into the details of this section. I just haven't the time this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 4. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 4. For we that are in this tabernacle, we're alive, of course, in our bodies, do groan, being burdened. Not that we would be unclothed. Now, just look at that expression. That's a very important expression. Now, what he means by that is this, that when the body is put in the grave, that body is unclothed, in the sense that the finality of that hasn't happened. And the soul would be with Christ, put it this way, in an unclothed state. You see? That's what he means. And what Paul is saying here, he was saying, you know, I would rather Jesus would come when I'm alive, so that I'll not be left in an unclothed state. You see? That's what he, of course, we know, looking back in history, that didn't happen, that Paul eventually died, and his body is buried somewhere. Maybe near Rome somewhere. I don't think that's where he was beheaded. But his soul is with Christ, which is far better. And here's what it says. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now we'll be looking further than that as we go down this lovely passage. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We're not all going to die. But we are all, we'll all be changed. Now, whether we're living or whether we're dead when Christ comes, even I'm standing here this morning, and if Jesus was to come now, I would be lifted up, you see. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, it says, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. It says, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. The dead in Christ are going to rise first, you see. Then we which are alive, you see, and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. I believe the clouds of Christians, to meet the Lord in the air. And as we go up, it says, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. We're going to receive bodies like unto the glorious body. It says in Philippians 3:20, listen to it, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior, who shall change this vile body, that it might be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to even to subdue all things unto himself. We'll be changed. That's what verse 50 emphasizes, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. But then it says in verse 52, it says we're all going to be changed, verse 52, in a moment. In a moment. It's amazing. In the twinkling of an eye. I find it difficult to get words to describe that. I know what a blink of an eye is. But the twinkle. I've looked at people sometimes and I've seen a twinkle in their eye. You've looked at somebody at many stages. Maybe you fellas have looked at a girl. You've seen a twinkle. And the girl also has looked at the guy. And she sees a twinkle. Now, what is that? It's something even less than a blink. You see, amazing. And Paul's writing here, he says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, You see, and we have this, for the trumpet shall sound. I haven't time to go into this last trump this morning because that clock is flying. Goes faster here than down in Portadown. It says, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. There's really basically four steps there in that lovely verse as you look down it. Now, in a moment, that's all going to happen in a moment. Now, I'm going to tread softly here as I look at this. Let's go to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. This old Bible of mine's getting a bit worn. You find it more difficult to find these places, but no, we have it. Now, what I would call the rapture, happens, I believe this verse refers to that, happens in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. But I'm going to go to the point where Jesus actually comes to the earth in his glorious appearing. If you look at verse 11 of Revelation 19, it says, and I saw. It's interesting that some of our modern translations put a then in there. You see, I saw, then I saw heaven opened. Now that's after something. I'm going to go back to what this is after. Go back to verse 1. After these things, I heard a great voice of much people. Where? In heaven. And then you have what are called four hallelujahs. I remember talking to Hedley Murphy about this, and he says, Bob, your next message, your next time you preach, preach on those four hallelujahs. I didn't do it, but, you know, there's a lovely message for anybody. Four hallelujahs, and you can preach on those. There's one in verse 1. What is he? Can I see here? Yes, there's one in verse 1. There's one in verse 2. There's one in verse 3. And there's one in verse 4. That's easy done. One in verse 6, I mean. Need to look at my notes here. The third one's in verse 4. The second one's in verse 2. And the other's in verse 1. Lovely hallelujahs. Now, if you go down to verse 7. Now, we're still in heaven after the four hallelujahs. It says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, the Lord. For the marriage of the Lamb, that's Jesus, of course, is come. And his wife, can anybody tell me who the wife is here? Very reticent audience this morning. The church, yeah. The bride. Some translations have put the bride. It says, for the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. Now, you know, to me, this is amazing. Because here is the wife, the church, in heaven. We're in heaven in verse 1, and we're in heaven right down through. So the church is actually in heaven here. But then, in verse 11, it says, then. After that, what do you see? I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. He doth judge and make war. And this is Christ, isn't it? This description here. This is Jesus coming to the earth. Absolutely. There's no doubt about that. But you see, the word then connects that with what has happened before. And I don't think, maybe there are those who believe this, but I don't. I don't see any 1 Thessalonians 4 here. I don't see 1 Corinthians 15 here. I don't see John 14 here. Because if the church is already in heaven, that must have been happened before that. It must have happened before that. And when I see also the amount of events that take place from verse 11, I could read right on. You see, that would take a bit of time. That'll not happen in a moment or in the twinkling of an eye. When you see heaven opened and you see Jesus coming down on the white horse and you see the armies of heaven following and you get all No, there's more involved there than what we would have in verse. Let's go back to verse 52 of 1 Corinthians 15. It says, "The trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." That's amazing. It says, "For this corruptible," something that can go wrong, "must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written." Now, it says, "Death is swallowed up in victory." Now, let's just go back to where that is written. That's Isaiah 25. Quickly, Isaiah 25. And it's a lovely section. Paul knew his Bible. Brought to pass the saying that is written, "Death is swallowed up in victory." And it's amazing to find that, to go back to Isaiah chapter 25 and verse 8. It says, "He will swallow up death in victory." That's an amazing passage going right back into the Old Testament. And the prophet there, Isaiah, in writing that, was going exactly forward to what we're thinking about here. It's an amazing, I believe the Bible is wonderfully linked up, Old Testament and New Testament. I don't think we can compile our doctrines from the Old Testament. That might be difficult. But, of course, the Old Testament is written for our learning, and we get great help from it as we look back and look forward. "He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord will wipe away tears from off the faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off the earth, for the Lord has spoken it." So, let's go back to 1 Corinthians 15 now. It says, "Then shall be brought to pass," verse 54, "the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." That's an amazing statement. You know, as I read that, I thought about this. Do you remember the children of Israel came out of Egypt and they crossed the Red Sea? Do you remember the sea opened in front of them and they passed through water on either side? It was an amazing miracle, you see. And then they got to the far shore. But then the Egyptians decided they would follow them, you know. And Pharaoh, with all his armies, walked into the Dead Sea, or the Red Sea, and the waters on either side, and they thought they could go right through, do you see, and up the other side. But when they got well in, what happened? God worked and the seas came back. And in a sense, they were swallowed up by the sea. But the victory was on the other side. And the children of Israel had great victory. And then they sang the song of Moses in their victory. Now death, which is an enemy, you know, it is an enemy. It says here, death is swallowed up in victory. You see? Then verse 55 says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. I could go to another verse there, but we'll leave it that this clock is going fast. The sting of death. Now, I was thinking about this because if a wasp stung you, and I hope it doesn't. I used to be, as a boy, I remember there was a bank out at the farm we were in, and then opposite that there was a laneway there, and then there was a big clump of fir trees. And I used to get a long stick, and there was a wasp's nest in that bank, and I would poke the wasp's nest and run into the trees. You know, and I watched the wasps coming out, but they didn't get me because I was safe, as I thought. But one day there was a wasp did get me. Because they go out in all directions. And I was stung. But when a wasp stings you, it has a sort of a hypodermic needle, could I put it that way? It goes in, but it comes out. You see? It just injects its poison in. And it can go, and it can sting again, a wasp. But a bee can't do that. A bee stings you, and on the end of the bee's sting, there's a wee hook. You don't see it, but when the bee stings you, the sting stays in. And when the bee pulls out, it leaves its sting. But you know what happens? The bee dies. The bee dies. You see? And what I see from that is this. The sting of death. You see, O grave, it says, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. You see? And of course, this morning as we sit here, the sting of death is gone. It is. You see? It's gone because, now listen, because of the death of Christ on the cross at Calvary. When that bee stung, it died. You see? And when Jesus has died on the cross, the sting has been taken out of death this morning. And there's a sense, although we could die. I nearly went to glory about a year ago, you know. And we've known people around us who have gone to be with Christ. You see, it's still there. Death is still there. But we know this, that death has been swallowed up in victory. You see, it says here, thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's because of what Jesus Christ has done on that cross this morning that as we look forward, the sting has been taken out of death. The sting has been taken out of sin, really, too, you see. And this morning as we sit here, we have great hope. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. But then there's a lovely verse here, and I'll have to fly on. It says, therefore, because of that, as we sit here this morning, and we've looked at these wonderful things that we've been thinking about, and we're looking forward to the coming again of Jesus, and it could happen today. It could happen today. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren. I like that expression. Paul, writing to these people, look at that expression closely. He says, my beloved brethren. There's a challenge here. Challenge to each of us as to what we think of our brothers and sisters in the church here this morning. And I hope that there is nobody here that's not getting on with somebody else. I hope not. I don't want to see that. And I hope that there's nobody here who's gossiping about other people in the church. One of the greatest things in churches today that's causing so much trouble as I move around is people saying things about other people and then it getting back to them again. You know? My beloved brethren, I believe that we need a revolution of Christian love in our churches today. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren. Now, there's three things here, and they're lovely. He says, be ye steadfast. You see, firm, strong, confident in your faith. It's like in those days, the expression here in the Greek would go back to the putting up of a statue. You know, they put up huge statues to people. And that statue would stand, and that statue would be firm. And when the wind came and the storms came, that statue would still be there. You see? And this word steadfast means that. It means to stand firm. You see? Therefore, and the encouragement of what's going to happen at the resurrection of Jesus and at the resurrection, has happened at the resurrection of Jesus and at our own resurrection as we look forward and think of the coming again of Jesus, we're going to stand firm, aren't we? We're going to tighten up our belts. Well, maybe that doesn't apply so much to you ladies. Maybe some of you wear belts, but you know what the expression means. It says, be steadfast. Then it says, unmovable. You see, that even goes more. Even it's like in those days they had great pillars that they put up. you see, and if you and a pillar that's deeply into the ground and it's unmovable, it's standing firm, it's unshaken, you see, unmovable. And then it says, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now that's lovely. See that word abounding? It brings in the association of a flowing river, a river in flood. You can think of rivers whenever the waters rise, and then they're flowing, the flow, always abounding, flowing in the work of the Lord. You can see those three areas there, reaching out and the work of the Lord. Then he says this, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I remember a few years ago being in Korea. And whenever I left, I was in South Korea. I was just about to get onto the plane, and the church there came forward with a presentation to me, and they gave me a plaque. And on that plaque was written this verse. Beautiful. I love this verse. It says, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Maybe there's somebody here this morning and you've gone down a wee bit. You're not as strong as you used to be in the Lord. You know, this verse is marvelous. It says, for as much as you know, your labor, you're working for the Lord, it's not in vain in the Lord what you're doing. You see, Revelation 22 and 12, here's what it says. Jesus, it's the words of Jesus. And some people think that the words of Jesus, the last words of Jesus were in Acts 1. No. There's lots of words of Jesus in the book of Revelation that people don't read. But in the last chapter, we have this verse. Listen to it. Jesus said this, behold, I come quickly. And he is. And here's what he says. And my reward is with me. You see, when Jesus comes, he's going to bring your reward with him. He says, my reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. You see. And when Jesus comes to the air, he brings his reward with him for those who have labored in the Lord. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. And I can see that absolutely. You see, the resurrection is marvelous. And I'm going to finish with one basic illustration. You remember Peter. And before Pentecost, do you remember he denied the Lord? And then Jesus had to maybe speak to him in John 21. And then he came to Pentecost, and the Spirit of God came down. And Peter was baptized in the Spirit. But one of the things that happened then on that day was, remember Peter stood up. And he preached to that crowd. Absolutely. Why? Because just a few days before that, Jesus had appeared to him. You see. Remember in 1 Corinthians 15, it talks about, you know, tell the resurrection, but particularly tell Peter. Go to Peter. And when Peter knew that Jesus had risen again, you see, the disciples were all down because Jesus was crucified on the... You know, they weren't happy at all, and even the two on the road to Emmaus were down, disappointed. You know, they thought everything had finished, but then Jesus appeared to them. And that brought life to them. And Peter was able to stand up on the day of Pentecost and preach to all those people, and those 3,000 people got saved in that instant in Acts chapter 2. You see, the resurrection, if we could just but realize the blessed truth of the resurrection and how it's going to affect us in the future and how it has affected us in the past and how it's going to affect us I was talking about this a few Lord's days ago, where Paul says in Philippians 3, he says that I may know him, that's Jesus, and the power of his resurrection. And I have said it often, we're all this morning indwelt by the blessed Holy Spirit, and we have power to enable us to live the Christian experience. I just pray the Lord will bless us this morning. Just let's pray. Our Father, we're deeply thankful for the lovely Word of God that we've been looking at and how much it applies to each of our lives. And Lord, we just pray this morning that something of the wonder of the resurrection of Christ may have touched us into what is going to happen in the future and into what can happen presently as we live for the Lord. We just pray this now, Lord. Ask for your blessing to touch us. Just pray for to the activities of today. We think of the meeting tonight, and Lord, just pray that the Spirit of God would move there in a mighty sense. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.